music, stories, and more. You're listening to the Heartbeat Radio, a program by Able Artwork.
I want to welcome you and to Heartbeat Radio. And today I'm interviewing a former classmate of mine from high school, Miss Heather Forden.
Thank you, sir.
Be as comfortable as Heather will be and I will be in interviewing Heather. So here it goes. Question number one. Well, you please introduce yourself.
My name is Heather Thornton, and I indeed went to high school with Brian. And Brian was very kind to invite me to this podcast when I told him about my play, a play I've been working on for a long time. I love something very funny Brian said a couple of months back when we talk every now and then on Facebook. FaceTime, whatever. And I said, Brian, I'm working on a play. And Brian says, oh, how long have you been working on it? And I said, 30 years. And Brian said, what's the rush?
That shows you how good sense of humor that I've got.
Yeah, you do. So anyway, so I've been talking about my play. I finished my play. I was in a workshop with some wonderful women that helped me with my play. And my co-writer, Mary Albanese, and I finished a play called Slow Times at Aviation High. And it's kind of a love letter. It's a love letter to the school that we went to, Brian. Back in the days, that was our 78, 79, you know, last year of high school. And it's a day in the life of us students. And I kind of compare it to the Breakfast Club, except we're in wheelchairs, but we join together, we fight together, we sort of deal with what's going on in our life and our worries about our future. And it's funny and it's weird. And you were very nice to invite me on to talk about it.
Well, I don't think there would be a soundtrack to this night, the Breakfast Club. I mean, there were songs from that soundtrack, from that movie.
Yeah, great songs. Won't you forget about me? Or don't you forget about me? Don't you, Heather, sing is what we're learning here. But yeah, well, ours was 1978, again, the beginning of our senior year, and it was disco. And kind of an interesting contrast, because there we were in the orthopedically handicapped room. And again, sort of wondering where we fit in. And it was certainly before, you know, disabled people were, we couldn't get into some restaurants or some movie theaters. And things were not sort of, you know, helping us fit into society at that time. But we always had our bubble at the OH room, orthopedically handicapped room. We always had each other. We always had laughs. We always had fights. And it's sort of an interesting contrast of what was going on in the year in 1978 with the disco and the vibrancy of life and our little world of, like I said, teaching each other and listening to each other. And that's what the play is about.
Yeah, we had some good times. Where are you from and what is your background?
I am in El Segundo, California. That's where I was born and raised. And then I moved around just here in Southern California with friends after high school, Bellflower, and then with my boyfriend and husband-to-be in Hollywood. And we had a child, and then I came back here to my childhood home here in El Segundo and raised my son. So just jumping around here in Southern California.
Question number three. What do you do for fun?
Well, when I was doing better, I went to concerts. I did drive across America one time, but it was during the heat wave, and I drove my mother from Baltimore, Maryland to California during a heat wave. So I can say to you, Brian, I drove across America and did not see a thing. So I sort of treasure that weirdness. But I traveled with friends, concerts, always the improv, comedy. Love to watch comedy shows, love movies. Me and my husband would go all the time, and me and my son, and that's it. Concerts, improv, a little bit of traveling, and a whole lot of movies.
Well, it doesn't say it, but I want to ask for an icebreaker question. What is your favorite karaoke song?
Oh, my God. I don't think I've ever done a karaoke song. We now know I can't sing the song from The Breakfast Club. Won't you, don't you forget about me.
Okay. What is your favorite movie?
My favorite movie. I have some weird top five favorite movies. Okay. Jaws. Miss Firecracker. Silence of the Lambs. Broadcast News. Yeah. That's so weird. I'm missing some of my very favorites, but those are some of my really favorite movies.
Okay. Have you ever been to a Broadway show?
No. And I was in New York, and we didn't go to a Broadway show, which always irks me. I've been to the Pantages Theater. I saw Hamilton. I saw, God, what was that one? The Mormons, that really funny, weird movie. Play. And I was raised on plays, by the way, by my mother. So that's why I wrote a play. I've seen You Can't Take It With You, Oklahoma, The Innocents, which was a very scary play to see as a child. But I've never been to a Broadway play. Not in New York, nope. And we were there for 3 weeks. I don't know how we didn't do that. Crazy.
Okay. Now, what if you play about?
A love story about aviation. This school in Southern California housed the disabled people because all of our high schools, they had stairs, so we didn't go to them. So they would bus us over to this school. And like I said, it's like kind of like the Breakfast Club. It's a day in a life of these students. And you know, like I said, it's filled with humor and drama. And we even get a peek into their future, which is beautiful and heartbreaking. And it's just a love and respect for the people that I knew, including you, Brian. And I just sort of did a confluence of, an amalgam of certain people, and it's six students. So I put all the students that we knew and sort of put into certain characters. It's like I said, it's a love and respect about aviation and the students that I knew to care about while we were there, and us confronting our future and our worries about it, but enjoying the now as well.
Now here's a question that I'm just dying to ask. If there are a character based on Mr.
Well, yeah, you know what? I went a different direction. I've actually written also an episode for, I can't talk about it, but maybe a TV episode of something that is also about some of us characters. And I used I called him in the TV.
I know it.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
So he's not in my play. But I, you know, I remember my friend was like, oh no, why didn't you put him in the play? I was like, I don't know. I just had a different character. Another friend of mine that I decided to use as called him Mr. Guff. And I went different for the play, but I did write a TV episode with, and yes, it's in mind. And it's funny. I mean, it's a really good episode. So if it ever comes out anywhere, I will let you know. But I wrote it. It's there waiting for someone. We'll see if something happens with that. So
that person that I was talking about, that was a high school teacher.
He was a character.
Yeah, he would have to be.
Yeah, he really went through it with us. I know it was a hard one not to use him in the play because there's a lot of fun, but I just chose another guy that I knew, and he just was more gruff, and there was sort of a different contrast I had for the play. You know, my dream is to get this play into a community theater somewhere. I hope somebody thinks it's good enough.
What inspired you to write the play?
Well, first of all, my mother raised me on plays since I was a little girl, and I love to see the story. I mean, to see the actors and the characters right in front of you. It's like almost like you're peeking in on their lives. And I've seen so many amazing plays. Like I said, You Can't Take It With You, Oklahoma, even You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. The Innocents was very scary for a little kid to see. But it's so, you're so close to the action and the actors and the characters. And you, like I said, you feel like you're peeking in on their lives. And I've just always liked writing. I don't know how good I am at it, but I'm trying. In my background, I found out that when I was watching Jeopardy, there was a question called, who was the author that caused a riot with his play in Ireland? And the answer was John Millington Synge. And I went, that's my great uncle. I was like, yay, great uncle, causing a riot in Ireland. And then came to New York and caused a riot here with his play. So I've always had it, I guess, inside of me. So it's just fun. I just really enjoy writing and expressing myself, you know?
You and I have something in common, Heather. I also like to write.
And you're good.
In fact, I'm doing a full draft of my autobiography, tracing my time from home knife to my group home knife.
Excellent. Brilliant. I'm sure it's amazing.
And if I forget all the some of the details, I text my brother.
That's important. Yeah, you want to, you know, that's so good for you. I mean, it's even a great form of therapy, and it's a great just way to express yourself. And that's wonderful. I'm glad you're doing that. I know you read one of your stories to me. You're very good.
Thank you. Your opinion means a lot to me. How long did it take to finish it?
Well, like I said, I have four iterations of the play. So I worked on it when I was 26, and a writer teacher of mine said, Heather, you're too close to high school. Wait a few years. Said, all right. Then I started writing again. Then I stopped. And then, you know, I raised my son and life, and, you know, just life happens. And so John Lennon said, life happens when you're doing other things or things. I don't, anyway. And then when COVID hit, and I went, you know what? I'm not going anywhere. So a miracle, I found this lovely woman, Denise, from Greece. A friend of mine is from Greece, and she showed her my play of this last iteration. And the lady said, well, have her come into our workshop. So I went in this workshop with these amazing women, which is where I met Mary Albanese, who helped me co-write my play. And she and I started working on it together, and she helped me finish it. Because it was a nice play, but it lacked something, a plot. So anyway, yeah, it was sort of COVID that made me go, I got nothing else to do. Let me really focus on the play instead of letting life divert my attention. I focused on it, and we did it. It took us a couple of years, but we did it.
Yeah, well, COVID felt up another heap of knife.
Sure did. Sure did. You had to really be strong mentally and just go, okay, what do we do now? And
But there was one thing I'm proud of. I did a podcast about COVID man, taking care of COVID.
I know you did. You read it to me. I love it.
Okay. What is your favorite part of your play?
Oh, my. The ending of it. I think the last scene, there's three scenes. It's one act, three scenes. Just the way we kind of come together at the end, because it seems a little chaotic at first again. And it's poignant and it's beautiful and it's heartfelt. And it just expresses my love for looking back at the past of the friendship we had. And so I think it comes together very nicely in the end, I think.
What do you hope to do with it?
I hope somebody, you know, Mary Albanese and I have sent it to different community theater places. And unfortunately, a lot of these places just do other plays, you know, plays, not originals. So we're trying to find a community playhouse that would embrace a new idea, you know. And so, but that's what I would love. I would love for it to be, you know, in a community playhouse somewhere, and have some good actors, and see if we can get some audience there and enjoy it, and just sort of express myself to them. That would be wonderful.
If it going to be turned into a book one day?
No, I don't think so. I sent it to some woman that said she would like it to be a movie, and Mary, again, my co-writer, said, you know what, we could do this. I'm like, yeah, Mary, you can do it. So Mary might take the play and mold it into a movie, and you know, we can do that. Yeah, but I don't know if I have a book in me. I don't know. I seem to really enjoy writing plays, or I'm writing another screenplay right now. So I think that's my forte.
Well, they say that you never know what's inside of you. It's a play like you did about the knife in the high school. Oh, it could be a book.
It could. You go a lot deeper with the book.
Ever. I wanna give up on that American, on that dream.
Okay. All right. You're inspiring me, Brian. You inspire you.
I have a way of inspiring some people.
You do.
And that includes you.
And you're very sweet. You're very kind. I asked you questions about if you knew anyone about the play. You're like, hey, you want to be on the podcast? You're a very kind person, young man.
Thank you. What is your process of writing plays?
You know, you know, inspiration can come in all kinds of different ways. It can come from a conversation. It can come from something that moves you on a TV show or a movie. And it's something that was in the back of my mind. I might have a little bit of a seed of an idea. And I kind of push it back there like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. And then something will inspire me. Like I said, it could be a sentence from a movie that was like, oh, yes, I can do this. Let me do this. And I will get my iPad and get on Final Draft. And I wrote 8 pages of a new screenplay. I wanted a movie. And I was like, man, this is pretty good. So you really do have to be inspired, but you also have to be disciplined. Like sometimes you don't feel inspired, but like I wrote the 8 to 10 pages very smooth. I was like, all right, this is going someplace. And I got the idea. I took notes where I want it to go. But yeah, it could come from anywhere. It's opening your heart to just any kind of communication and feeling something and just going, ah, I can do something with this. So it comes from all kinds of places.
Do you have any other projects in the works?
Well, like I said, that episode of some of our characters for the 1 hour TV show episode, and like I said, I can't give you details about that or the, but it's a, you know, it's a possibility. That one's more comedy. I would say my play, it's a little more drama. I'm used to comedy, but the TV episode I wrote is very sweet and heartfelt as well, but a lot more comedy in it. So I've got that one going. And like I said, I just started this new screenplay. And Mary, my co-writer, said she's interested in taking our play here and turning it into a movie. So that's about it. That's about it.
If there's only thing you want to tell the listeners.
I thank you for this opportunity, Brian, very much. And yes, I mean, if anyone's sort of interested in the original play and would want to look at it and see if it might work in their community or in their community theater, just always out to reach out to people. And everybody has a story inside of them. So if there's people out there that want to write and they have any doubts, it's there. It's there. Just keep writing, keep opening your heart. And it just feels good. And it's really a fun way to communicate. And I would encourage anyone out there that if you have any doubts, you know, write down your doubts and then turn it into something. And it's just a beautiful form of communication and expression of what's in your heart.
Well, thank you, Heather. And I'll be finding you. I'll be FaceTiming you on my phone again.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you all so much. Bye-bye.
This has been an interview with the girl from high school, Heather Forden. So thanks for listening and tune in again for another topic.
I hope you enjoyed this installment of Artbeat Radio. For more information, please go to our website, ableartwork.org. Thank you for listening, and tune in next time.